Happy Mother's Day. I got some thank yous this time. First service, it was just silent. I think you're used to good morning, and then you say good morning back. I said Happy Mother's Day this morning, and Sean Pitchford from the sound booth said, Happy Mother's Day! It was Merry Christmas or something like that. Mother's Day sermons always make me a little bit nervous. There's, you know, Easter Sunday, and then Christmas, and then probably Mother's Day. You got to bring your A game on Mother's Day, right? Mother's Day is a big deal, so I'm always a little nervous. Don't know for sure what it is that I'm going to talk about each time. And so as I prepare a message, there's basically two things that you can do. There's what we call a topical message, where you pick a certain topic, like I'm going to talk about grace today, or I'm going to talk about sacrifice, or I'm going to talk about loving your neighbor, and then I pick and choose verses throughout the scripture that talk about that thing. That one I don't do very often because it's easy to preach the word of Shane instead of the word of God. You can kind of twist things sometimes if you're really sneaky. The other way of preaching is what we call expository. And what that is when you pick a passage and you go verse by verse and just speak as those verses go. And that's what I do 90% of the time because it keeps me accountable and I stay on track. And so this morning, what we're going to do is neither one of those. This morning is more of a testimony. This morning, I want to share with you about my mom. I grew up with an incredible mother. She's amazing. And as I grew up with her, I realized more and more as the years go by how amazing my mom really is. And so what we're going to do today is I want to share with you, and the title of the message is The Things Mom Taught Me About God. The Things My Mom Taught Me About God. And as we do that, I, like I said, have an incredible mother. I know there's probably some of us here today that may not have had a great childhood growing up or may not have even had the chance to get to know your mom. So my hope is as we talk through this, maybe you can learn what my mom taught me about God as well. I know when I was a kid, I had several friends back in the Chicago area who didn't have the best home life, and they learned a lot about God from my mom and spending time at our house. And so that's kind of what we're going to do today. I'm going to share with you just different seasons of life as I've grown. And in each one of those seasons, the things that my mom taught me about God and his love for us. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. And so as you might imagine, the place we have to start is infancy, when you're a baby. And the thing that I learned from infancy is total dependence. Now, I don't remember a whole lot about being a baby. I don't remember the day I was born. Don't remember pretty much the whole diaper phase. That's all a blur to me. And so this part's kind of funny because I don't remember it. However, I am aware of the fact that I was completely and totally dependent on my mom during that time in my life. As I've had children, I've seen that happen. My kids are getting bigger and kind of coming up with their own personality and their own will and all those things. But I know that that wasn't always the case. I know there was a time where they needed mom 100%. They literally couldn't survive without mom there. In fact, my friend Chad and I were talking at one of the school programs we were at this last week, and Chad and his wife are in the same place as my wife and I, have had their children, and their children are getting bigger and school age and, you know, getting into junior high and those kinds of things. And you know, they're just like Stephanie and I, you know, they're kind of done having new babies until they weren't done having new babies. And so they've got a brand new little one. And Chad was telling me, he said, yeah, I'm, you know, it's so busy, and man, I didn't realize how much older we are now. We're not getting any sleep. And he said, I try my best, you know, to help and do everything I can. But he said, there's certain times like dinner time for the baby where I just kind of watch. There's not much I can do. Mom's in charge of that. And there's the truth that a baby needs mom, completely, totally dependent on mom. Now, what does that teach us about God? What do we learn about God from that truth? In Colossians chapter 1, it teaches us about this truth, specifically talking about Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. It says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything." We are completely and totally dependent on God. He is what holds everything together. And I like that picture because it's the idea of God holds everything together. If he were to step out, it would all spin into chaos. Also true of mothers in a lot of situations. They hold it together, and when they step out, everything spins into chaos. We learn about our total dependence on God. And it's important that that's where we start, because everything else we're going to talk about, all the other lessons, begin with that truth, the truth that we are completely and totally dependent on God. John 15:5, Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So with that being said, the next phase of life that I moved into is childhood. And in my childhood, I learned loving discipline, which is actually a lesson I had to learn over and over and over again. It may be a huge surprise to you, but I was a very strong-willed child. I always loved my mom to death, but I had my way of doing things that I wanted to do them that way, and I didn't want to do them mom's way. And because of that, discipline was a regular part of my childhood growing up. But throughout my childhood, my mother showed a great deal of discipline, consistency, patience, and especially love, a loving discipline. I think that's especially important for strong-willed children. We need to understand the idea of loving discipline. And the reason is, when you want to do everything your way instead of the way that you're told, you get labeled a problem child. Do I have any other problem children in here? And so when that happens, a lot of times I think you grow up thinking, my Sunday school teacher doesn't like me. My coach doesn't like me. My teacher at school doesn't like me. They all hate me. Sometimes they actually did hate me. And I probably earned that. But you begin thinking that, you know? And it's so important for that person in your life, for my mom to discipline me, but with complete love. To know that I had to toe the line. I had to do what I was told, but it was because of love, not because she couldn't stand me or was tired of me. Now, what does that teach us about God? I want to share with you something from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. It's always hard to find Proverbs because you start in Psalms and go, okay, Proverbs is next, but Psalms is really long, so it takes a while to flip through it. But in Proverbs chapter 3, it tells us, verses 11 through 12, it says, "Do not despise the Lord's instruction, my son, and do not loathe his discipline. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, just as a father disciplines the son in whom he delights." I've quickly learned this lesson as a father with my children, that discipline for my children is actually firmly rooted in love. I know that certain actions in their life are going to produce pain and suffering for them and the people around them. And so I discipline them to change those actions before it's too late. It's all done out of love. That's the reason I discipline them. Proverbs 22:15 says, "Folly is bound up." Boy, I'm familiar with this one. "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him." This is how God works in our lives. He disciplines us through trials and struggles in order to produce good, godly fruit in our lives. And he does that because he loves us so much. That's what I learned through my childhood. Now, the next phase of life that we walk into is adolescence. Now, adolescence is hard because you're kind of that stuck place between being a kid and an adult, right? And so what I learned in adolescence from my mom was personal responsibility. Personal responsibility. What my mother taught me during my adolescence and my young adulthood was that I needed to understand personal responsibility. Now, we often confuse that, I think, with independence. And I am not talking about independence. And here's the reason why. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the scripture teaches us this. For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason be any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But that, as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. I don't think we like to hear this as Americans, but independence is a myth. It was never part of God's plan. We're not meant to be independent. On the contrary, we're made to need each other. And we're especially made to need God. So as I grew in my adolescence, I didn't learn to be independent. I learned to be personally responsible. What's the difference? Independence says, I don't need anyone else. I can do it on my own. Personal responsibility says, you make your own decisions now, and those decisions will have consequences, both for you and for the people around you. That's personal responsibility. And this is what my mom taught me really well during this time in my life. One of the things that my parents did, which I am not going to follow in their footsteps, they were crazy, but they never gave me a curfew. When I started to drive and go out on my own, there was never a, hey, you better be home by 10 o'clock or by midnight or whatever it was. They told me, hey, you've got keys to a car now. You're going to go out with your friends and do things. You need to make good decisions. You need to be home at a decent hour. You know you got things the next day that you need to do. You need to get some sleep and you need to be ready for the morning. And so I never had a curfew. It was left to me to be personally responsible. Now, I did get home really late one time, you know, really so late it was early. And I do remember I came home and I was kind of, you know, quietly doing stuff and Dad came down the stairs. He didn't say a word. He just gave me the dad look and walked back upstairs. But I knew at that point that I hadn't overstepped the bounds. But what they taught me was not independence, not you got to go do it on your own. It was the idea of that personal responsibility that now you make decisions. And those decisions are going to affect you and they're going to affect us and they're going to affect the people around you. What does that teach us about God? We're not independent. We're made to depend on one another. However, we are personally responsible. Jesus tells us something really hard in Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells us about the end times. And beginning in verse 31, he says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you didn't take care of me. Then they too will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or without clothes or sick or in prison and not help you? Then he will answer them, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That's a hard passage, and that's a whole nother sermon on its own. But I think one thing we can glean from that today is that our actions have an effect on others. God, our Father, expects us to be personally responsible, not independent, in fact, quite the opposite. Our decisions have an effect on us personally, on those around us, and they have an effect on God. Personal responsibility is an important lesson. What we do matters. So once I finally finished up that adolescence period, I became a man, and it was time to put away childish things. In adulthood, my mother taught me about enduring care. Enduring care. And this lesson's become more and more clear every year as I get older and older. Several times in the past for Mother's Day, instead of buying my mom flowers or a present, I've taken her out to dinner sometimes, just me and her. Just me and mom together, so we get a chance to sit and talk. And when I sit down, still to this day, with just me and mom, we'll often talk about my older sister, we'll talk about my two young brothers, we'll talk about my wife and my children. And I'm always amazed, number one, about how much she knows about what's going on, but also just how much she cares. And not just curious, not just wanting to know what's happening in your life, but the good things and the bad things affect her. She never stops caring for her children. I've probably seen this most vividly over this last year. When I went to the emergency room, my mom, although she lives an hour away, was the first person to be there with my wife. I can remember Stephanie had told me she would constantly check with the doctors and everything in the emergency room and want to know what's going on and kind of took charge there for my wife. I can remember as I kind of woke up and I remember my mom being next to my bed and just patting my arm, you know, just like when I was little. It's going to be okay. You're going to be all right. And she cared for Stephanie. She cared for the kids all the way through my recovery. And I just saw this last year that no matter how strong of a man I become, her enduring care is just as powerful today as it was when I was a little boy. That has never changed. What does that teach us about God? I think sometimes when we seem like we're getting things right, you know those times in your life where you're like, I'm doing okay. I'm getting things right. I'm not screwing up. I'm doing a good job. I think we believe sometimes that God has moved on to the next project. Even though we'd never say this out loud, I think sometimes we think, hey, God, I'm doing all right. I got this. You know, thanks for the help, but you can worry about somebody else for a while because I'm okay. But God doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He doesn't move on. His enduring care, no matter how great you're doing, or no matter what you're struggling with, no matter how mature you become in the faith, his enduring care for you never ends. Matthew 10, 29 through 31 says, Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid. You're worth more than a whole bunch of sparrows. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And finally, at the end of the book of Matthew, we have a passage that we call the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And you know what the very last thing he says in the book of Matthew, the last words? Surely, without a doubt, don't ever forget that I am always with you. His enduring care for us never ends, never fades one bit. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, no matter how mature we become, his enduring care never fades. So I want to close with two very important thoughts today. The first one is to the mothers here. And I want to say, moms, take your role seriously. Children learn so much about God from their parents. And often not your words, not just what you tell them about God, but your actions, the way that you live your life. Scripture over and over and over again talks about our relationship with God as a parent-child relationship. And so your children are going to use you as one of the foundational relationships for understanding the love of God. That is a huge responsibility. Take it seriously. And for the rest of us, we all, no matter how you grew up, no matter what kind of mom you had, we all have something very important to learn from our mother. Some of you may be sitting there today and saying, my mom taught me the exact opposite of all those things that you said, Shane. Or maybe you didn't even have a chance to get to know your mother. But there is one foundational thing, one truth across all of us, no matter our background, that we can learn from our mothers. We have life because of the great sacrifice and suffering that she went through. That's a biological fact, no matter what kind of mom you've had. We are sitting here today alive and well because there is a woman at some point in your life who went through pain, suffering, and sacrifice, who literally gave all of herself for 9 months for you. And that's a fact. And so no matter what you've been through, one thing that we can learn from our mothers is that we have life today because of her sacrifice. If you were to ask me today, if you were to say, hey, Pastor Shane, I need a favor. I need you to go through 9 months of you know, being sick and then slowly getting more and more sore and tired every day. And then at the end of it, I need you to go through excruciating pain. I would say, well, no, thank you. I'm not doing you that favor. But that's what moms do. Every single one of them. That's what moms do. Man, we learn a lot about Jesus Christ from our mom. John 10:10, Jesus said, a thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. So honor your mom today, no matter where she is, because it was her sacrifice that brought you life. And in that, understand that the incredible sacrifice of Jesus Christ brings us life and life eternal. I want to share one last passage with you from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. Verses 3 through 6. Talking about Jesus, this is a prophecy about the Messiah. It says he was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised, and we didn't value him. Yet he himself bore our sickness, and he carried our pains. But we in turn regarded him as stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. We all went astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. Mothers, on your way out today, we have a gift for you in the foyer, so you can stop and get that. And let me just say, moms, thank you. Thank you for teaching us and showing us Jesus. Stand with me and we'll close in prayer. Father, today we come and we celebrate the gift of life. We celebrate the gift of the beginning of our life here on earth and the gift of our mother's sacrifice, and we celebrate the gift of eternal and abundant life and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for your incredible love for us. No matter what kind of love we've experienced here on earth, it can never hold a candle to the love you have for us. Father, thank you. As we go today, I ask that we would truly be people of abundant life. That as we go, we couldn't help talk about our amazing God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I ask that the abundant life, the eternal life that we enjoy because of the sacrifice of Jesus, would radiate from our lives in everything that we do. And that all the people around us, all the people who have been given life through the sacrifice of their mother, could now be given eternal life through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Let us be that kind of people in our dark world. Let us shine brightly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.